It is the year 2005. The treacherous Decepticons have conquered the Autobots' home planet of Cybertron. But from secret staging grounds on two of Cybertron's moons, the valiant Autobots prepare to retake their homeland.
From the command center, the podcast has been cancelled. A new show shall arise. Presenting from Cybertron. Yes. April Fools.
From the Command Center, Episode 2. Is not going anywhere. We are not getting canceled. We are not getting reformatted or anything like that. I blame Scotty Cash.
It's always Scotty Cash's fault. Welcome to the collaboration between the Pop Culture Network and the Geekcast Radio Network. And this is From the Command Center, the podcast, episode 2. I am Scotty Cash, and joining me is
DFG on mic.
And today we're going to continue Mighty Morphin Power Rangers with season 2. What's going on, buddy?
Not much. We got a couple of things to get out of the way before we actually start the episode. From the Command Center is now in iTunes as far as the Geekcast Radio Network side. We have a separate feed. If the fans go over to Pop Culture Network and you guys subscribe to their feed in iTunes, you will also get the episodes. But if you want a separate feed with just From the Command Center stuff, there's that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, last month, Scotty and I didn't listen to Spada's Jew Ranger thing before we recorded the episode.
Yes, that is correct.
Because we kind of got the clip kind of late. When I went back and I listened to the episode, and I'm like, oh, it's not Zoo Ranger, it's Jew Ranger, or Jew Ranger, as Spada had said it. And it sounds like... I'm sorry to say this. I have to. It sounds like it's Jewish Power Rangers.
Right. I've heard it pronounced so many different ways by so many different people.
Yeah.
Zayu and Zoo and Jew. And it's like, how do you? That's not what that says. It should be like Zayu, kind of like Ryu.
Yes. Yes. So. From now on, we will make sure that we do listen to Spada's clip before we actually record the episode, which we have in this case. C2E2 karaoke. What's going on with that? You guys were at C2E2 this year.
Yeah, I was hammered. Well, we had a bunch of guys from the Pop Culture Network that work on the site that don't live where we live, so we've never really got to meet them. So it was like we just kind of got together. They'd stayed in our hotel room with me, Killen, and Pixel Dan, and Dirt, and we just had a blast. It was crazy. We just one beer after another. It started with like one or two shots, and then it was just all downhill. And I don't usually drink, but when I do drink, I get drunk because I hate the taste of alcohol. So I was drunk on the way to the bar. So it was bad. So. So we get there, whatever, and we're like, oh, it's like live band karaoke. This is actually really cool. But I go over there to, like, put our names on the list, and he's like, you guys got, like, 14 more people. And I'm like, no. here's this $10 bill, and I'm going to go about right here. And he's like, okay, you're up next. So we actually got to go right after that, and we didn't have to wait.
Awesome.
For a tall $10.
Sweet. Yes, and the last point of business that we have to bring up, Dan has been depixelated. He is now forever will be known in my camp as TFG1 Dan.
Well, they're just, I don't remember what, Dan said something on one of their It Figures podcasts, and everybody just assumed he hated Transformers when Dan actually loves Transformers, and he has a bunch of them. He doesn't collect them. He just gets his favorite. It's just like,
right.
Like I do. You know, I got about 5 or 6, but I don't collect them all like you do.
Yeah, I don't collect them all that much either. So at this point,
you have way more than I do.
Pixel Dan has two options. He can either be forever known as TFG1 Dan, or he can be known as Willie Tanner. Because in your video April Fool's Day thing, your From Cybertron thing, when you were filming Dan and you had the thing up of his name is now TFG1 Dan. He put his hand right in the camera, and it's almost like Willie Tanner from ALF putting his hand in the camera. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, and that's – I put together all that, so it's not like he did it, but I didn't even think of that until you said it. But, yes, absolutely. that's awesome.
Yes.
Can he be TFG1 Willie?
Oh, that sounds really weird and horrible. Let's move on. as far as me, I've just been podcasting like normal. Tooncast is coming to an end. We're starting MWire back up, movie we can review here in a few months. We're currently finishing out the GCRN Top 100 Animated Series List of All Time project over at Geekcast Radio's flagship podcast. What else am I been doing? I just recently, because we're recording this Wednesday night, I almost said February, Wednesday night, April 6th, yesterday Tron and Tron Legacy got released via DVD and iTunes and all that, so I bought the classic Tron and Tron Legacy, and I've been watching those. I love those movies.
You know what? I'm probably going to get booed here, but I've never seen Tron.
You know what? Honestly, until about... when Legacy was coming out in theaters, I had never seen it either.
Yeah.
I always heard the name, but I never knew what it really was. Yeah. And I was going to go see Tron Legacy when it came out in theaters, which I did do. But I wanted to watch the first one first, just because that's the way I do things. Right. And so I went on YouTube and I looked it up, and there's this one guy who had it in 9 or 10 parts. So I watched it and I just absolutely fell in love with it.
That's good. I need to check that out.
It's right now, I think if you want to buy it on iTunes, it's $14.99. If you want to just rent it, I think it's like $3.99 on iTunes. I don't know if it's going to Redbox. I know a buddy of mine has it in his Netflix queue, so if you use Netflix, that's probably another option. Or you could just
DVD.
Yeah, you could just buy the DVD.
If I don't like it, I'll just give it to Dirt, because Dirt already has like 7 copies of it anyway. He has it like on the PSP. He has it on Laserdisc, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't even have a Laserdisc player. He has it on DVD. He's got it on VHS. It's just like Blu-ray, like literally.
Yeah, my computer is my DVD player, and what they're asking for the different variations, and this is, and we're kind of getting off topic here, but this is kind of like general chat type stuff, but, I hate when they release DVDs now, because it's like, oh, Blu-ray combo pack, 3D Blu-ray combo pack,
yeah,
5-disc combo pack, and it's like, really, just want one DVD, maybe a 2-disc DVD edition, and that's it. I don't need Blu-ray, I don't need friggin' 3D. I hate 3D. It hurts the hell out of my eyes.
And then it gets even worse if it's like a series, like Toy Story, Toy Story 3, and then you got like the 3D Toy Story 3, and then you got the Blu-ray, and then it's like, and now you can buy it in this Toy Story 1, 2, and 3 box set with special features, and you're like, well, damn it.
And that's one of the reasons why, like, if I absolutely want to see a movie that's coming out on DVD specifically, I will go to Redbox and I will rent it just so I can see the movie.
Right.
There have been several times where I've bought movies through iTunes because there's something that I absolutely wanted to have. Like, I bought Cars Tunes. I bought Toy Story 3 in iTunes. I bought the Tron movies in iTunes, you know, because I absolutely wanted to have them. But again, they're on my computer. I don't have to worry about, you know, a 7-disc, 20-disc DVD collection, you know. It's like, ugh.
Yes, sir. Well, let's get talking about what we're here to talk about.
Yes, which is Power Rangers.
These people are probably falling asleep. If they don't like Tron.
I know. I have that effect on people. So we are starting with Season 2 now. We're continuing with Season 2. So Season 2 of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, which is, as we know, American television series created by Ham Saban and Chucky Levy, began airing July 21st, 1994 on Fox Kids. We're basically continuing the story from Episode 1, what we did a month ago. You basically have Tommy, Kimberly, Jason, Billy, Trini, Zach, Alpha, Zordon, Rita, Goldar, everybody. And they included, they brought in Lord Zedd as the big baddie for this season, pretty much.
And then Aisha and Rocky and,
yep,
and Adam, eventually.
Yeah, and then, yeah, we had the power transfer with Adam, Rocky, and Aisha, which is very, very cool.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, you're saying that because you're an Aisha fanboy.
Yes, absolutely.
So what do you remember from, you know, watching Season 2 in 94? I mean, from, you know, going from what Season 1 was into now what Season 2 is.
All right, Season 2 is probably my favorite season.
Really?
Out of all of them. I mean, just going back and looking, because like Season 1 was good, but you had a lot of introducing characters and you had a lot of by themselves, you know, like episodes. And Season 2 has 8 different series.
Right.
And Season 1 only had 5, and I think Season 3 has like 6 or 7, which is pretty close to 8, but Season 2 had like 53 episodes, I want to say.
Yeah, something like that.
53 episodes, and it had 8 different series. So it's like you were always – and the series are way better than the standalone episodes, no matter what. They're just – it's better to follow. But Season 2 also has my all-time favorite bad guy in the Primator.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely loved him because he was turning into all the Rangers, and then when he seen his reflection, he turned back into the big, giant, white monkey thing.
Now, speaking of your favorite bad guys, something you forgot to mention in Episode 1, you forgot to bring up Pudgy Pig. Since you're talking about bad
absolutely.
Guys, I figured I'd let you bring that up since you forgot to do it last time.
Yeah, because I remember right when we were done recording. Yeah, Pudgy Pig was absolutely probably my top 5 favorite, you know, like monsters or whatever. It's at the top of my memory. It's like Primator and Pudgy Pig are probably like, you know, right next to each other, 1 and 2. I just love both of those guys a ton. Pudgy Pig was I'm pretty sure like one of the first episodes, Food Fight.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
It was
true.
Like Episode 2, maybe Episode 3 or something like that.
Yeah. For me, what I remember about this season was the whole continuing saga of Tommy and him mm-hmm. having limited power to him having no power to, you know, and then we get White Light, which we'll talk about White Light in a bit, but, you know, we've got that, and then we've got the power transfer, and we've got, the ninja encounter and all that stuff. I just remember a lot of really, really great episodes from this season, and it was mm-hmm. just so great. I mean, you have the continuation from the first season, so you have the, you know, obviously Jason, Trini, and Zach are going to be leaving, but you still have it wasn't like nowadays where each Ranger incarnation is its own cast and its own story. Back then, you had the continuation from season 1 to season 2, and even though Jason and Trini and Zach were leaving, they did the transition of them leaving very well.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, and I so hate to do this, but it wasn't like, you know, like soap operas where, you know, on Monday you'll see this character played by a certain person. On Tuesday they'll say, oh, blah, 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 blah is now played by blah, 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 blah. And it's like, what? You know, so you don't have that. I love it. This is one of my favorite seasons of the MMPR era. It's just, it's so cool.
Yeah, well, it's definitely my favorite. I don't know. It's probably my favorite season, period. You know what I mean? But, yeah, like what I was saying was they have 8 series. There's 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 4 with at least 3 episodes in the part.
Yeah.
So, like, the Mutiny, it had 3 parts.
Wedding.
The Ninja Encounter had 3 parts. The Wedding had 3 parts. So, it's just awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool story arcs that they did, and I'm glad that they did that instead of just having complete one-off episodes. But it was very, very, very cool. Any other thoughts before we move on?
Well, it's pretty much my next thought would be moving on, because I absolutely loved the Zords too, and how they came about and getting them and all that stuff.
Yes. Speaking of the Zords.
Yep.
Back to action. Rest it on Lion Thunder Zord power.
Pterodactyl Firebird Thunder Zord power.
Triceratops Unicorn Thunder Zord power.
Sabertooth Tiger Griffin Thunder Zord power.
Tyrannosaurus Red Dragon Thunder Zord power.
Now that's more like it. Go get him, Power Rangers. Reel in that overgrown guppy and send him back where he came from.
I just love that Zord transformation sounds. I love that stuff. That thing is so cool.
They're always good to hear.
Yes, yes. So now we're going to get into the characters and all that good stuff. As we said before, I almost said Rocky Adamage. As we said before, Jason, Trini, and Zach were leaving. As far as the show goes, they were leaving to go on some peace summit.
Yeah.
I believe in real life it was personal issues or something like that. I know that I've heard rumors that Jason's mom, Austin St. John's mother, was sick or something like that. I don't really know the whole story on that, so I'm not going to talk about that. But so basically, here in the characters section, we're just going to talk about the characters specific to season 2, seeing as how last episode we talked about, you know, Tommy and all of them already. So you got Rocky, Adam, and Aisha. What do you think of Rocky?
I liked Rocky. Rocky was kind of like, I don't know, he kind of went from the red guy was the leader to kind of like a backup. I would almost put Rocky as like the last guy. Yeah. He was just always so in the back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is silly because, you know, eventually he had his own, you know, he had his own Zord and everything. So you think that he would still be one of the main guys, but does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. But at this point, they had already established that Tommy was the leader of the team. I mean, they pretty much took that. They didn't take it, but they pretty much transferred. Well, no, wait, no, that doesn't happen until later. Oops.
No, he was the.
Oh yeah, It was that white. Right? That right? White light, then ninja. Yeah, I'm not thinking straight. Yeah. When Rocky, Adam, and Aisha had come in, Tommy was pretty much already established as the leader. And I don't know, for me, I like Rocky. I like his character. I more so like the interactions between him and Adam. But that'll come next month when we cover the movie, because that's really where they kind of shine, is the two of them playing off of each other in the movie. Yeah, Rocky's okay. He's no Jason, but like I said, at this point, the leader was the White Ranger. It wasn't the Red Ranger anymore. So, what about Adam? How'd you like Adam?
Oh, I love Adam, just because his line in the movie where he's mad because he's a frog.
He's a frog.
But I think my favorite's probably Aisha.
Yes, yes.
Just because her ninja abilities. She's a
ninja abilities to kick Zords in the nuts.
Right, exactly.
Oh man.
What do you think about Adam and Aisha?
I like Adam. The only problem I really have with Adam in season two is just the way that he says, you know, Mastodon Lion Thunderzord power. It just, to me, it just doesn't sound, I don't know if it's just the way I'm watching that, you know, those episodes with him doing that, or if it's just the way I'm reading, probably too much into it, but I don't like the way he says it on the show. But Adam's character in general, I've always loved Adam. He's a really lovable character. He's one of those characters that he's a good comedy character, whereas, and you know, I mean, it's good, like good chuckle comedy. It's not like sympathetic chuckle comedy like Bulk and Skull.
Right.
You know, and I really liked Adam a lot. So moving on to Aisha, before you start, you know, going all fanboy. Me personally, I think she's a huge, and no disrespect to Thoy Trang. I know she's no longer with us, but no disrespect to her. You know, I prefer Aisha 10 times more than Trini. Trini always bugged the hell out of me with her hand movements in the Zord sequences. I don't know, but Aisha I thought was a really, really good replacement.
Yep, and she's smoking hot.
Yes.
But, well, I mean, you got to kind of keep into your view here that none of those movements were actually Trini. That was actually a guy.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, because all those shots were Sentai shots.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So technically, you hate some Japanese guy, not Trini. poor Japanese guy didn't even do nothing to you, and you hate his guts.
Well, I mean, you know, suspending disbelief here and, you know, just thinking and not knowing the reality behind it, just as someone just watching the show, you know, you hear Trini's voice saying the words and you see the actor or actress, you know, doing the movements, and you just automatically assume that it's Trini doing it.
Yeah, Trini wasn't a lot to her character. She was just kind of like, you know, and again, no disrespect whatsoever. Because,
right.
You know, it was just like she was just real blah. You know, she was just like there. You know, like she wasn't a bad actress, but she wasn't a good actress. You know what I mean? At least she wasn't cheesy, I guess. I'll definitely give her that because, like, Zach was extremely cheesy.
I liked Zach's cheesiness, though, because, again, he is one of those good comedy characters. Or, you know, he'll say a line, but he has that, you know, funky street style to him, I guess you could call it. And, I don't know, I kind of like that about him. Trini, like you said, the character of Trini was just so blah. I mean, I don't think she had one single specific story to herself outside of the fact that, like, I think one time they had to save her dad. But I mean, like, almost every episode of season one, you know, you had, and I know we're talking about season two here, but I'm like, almost every episode before they left, you always had, you know, a Kimberly-centric episode, or a Zach-centric episode, or a Tommy, or a Jason. You never really had Trini-centric episodes. She's kind of like Billy's sidekick, almost.
Yep. She was a sidekick to whoever she was with, because if she was with Kimberly, she was like Robin to Batman. If she was with Billy, you know, Billy was doing the typing, and she was just there to, what's the word? My mind is completely gone tonight. Translate the words, because Billy would be like, according to my calculations, blah, 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 blah. And
yeah.
They'd go, come on now, Billy, give it to us in English, and Trini would go, oh, the Zords are frozen.
Yep.
So it's like, she was like a translator.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was pretty much her role, which was, you know, she's just doing what they're telling her to do anyway, so I guess I can't really get mad at Zach for being cheesy and you know, because he's just doing what he's told.
Yeah. And then much later in the season, once Kimberly had left, they brought in Catherine Cat Hillard, who originally, again, they played up the same angle that they played up with Tommy. She was evil. She was something Rita created. And then she got turned to good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I always hoped at one point that she and Kimberly would just have it out, just have one big old cat fight. No pun intended.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. Yeah. But it never happened, so.
Never happened, so, yeah. Any thoughts on Kat?
Not really. She was hot, too, but.
Yeah.
She, I don't know. I didn't really. Eh, whatever.
Moving into the villains, the big bad villain that they introduced in this season was Lord Zedd, the Emperor of Evil.
I was scared like the first time I seen that dude. I mean, I was probably too old to be scared, but I was just kind of like, dude, that is just like, I couldn't just, you know, I would, because I would always record the episodes. I had probably 10 VHS tapes with random episodes. I would get it and I would pause it and just look at him like, that's scary. That's like Freddy Krueger scary. That's just like, he don't even have any skin. This is messed up. He was extremely awesome bad guy.
Right. Yeah. He was so, I mean, that whole design on Lord Zedd, the red and silver, and like when it almost looked like his blood was boiling when he would get angry and his whole body would glow.
Yeah. They would highlight him. Yeah. That was so awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome, dude. He was just a really good character.
Yep.
And not because we got to interview him.
I mean, even before we got to talk to Robert Axelrod, I mean, I had always liked Zedd. And again, we get more comedy later once Rita returns and she tricks him into marriage.
Yep, the wedding.
Just like a woman.
My wife does that to get me to take out the trash. She puts a love potion in there. All of a sudden I start washing dishes. I'm like, what just happened?
That's funny. Really? A clone? Seriously?
Yep.
To me, this is so stupid. I'm sorry. This was so dumb. This is like, for me, when I saw this, I'm like, oh, hey, it's Michael and Garth Knight from Knight Rider. They're clones of each other. It's Tommy and Tom Oliver. They're clones of each other just because Zedd wanted his own Green Ranger again. It's like, really? Ugh, talk about reuse of plot.
Yeah. My favorite scene in season two, I know I'm kind of skipping ahead here, but I didn't even remember it until I went back and watched it, and it was so amazing. It was Green No More 2 when Tommy's hiding in the watermelon patch.
Yeah. So
they're fighting this giant, what's his name, Turishel?
Turishel, yeah.
Yeah, and he was like, he's kicking, and Alpha or Zordon's like, Tommy, you need to get into his belly. And he's like, all right, Zordon, I'll take care of it. And he's like looking around, and then all of a sudden it pans over, and there's just like a fruit cart, and then it pans over again, and the giant shell guy's like, I'm so hungry. Oh, there's a snack. And it pans back over, and Tommy's just standing real still with a bunch of watermelons around his head. And the guy just grabs them all and just eats them. And he's like, all right, I'm in. I'm like, cut that out.
That is hilarious.
Green No More was fabulous.
Yeah,
series.
I love Green No More.
I liked the fake Power Rangers.
Yeah,
or whatever you want to call them,
the Psycho Rangers.
Yeah, except for the end when, okay, first of all, these punk kids come into their high school, they push their friends around, then they become bad Rangers and they fight, and then they end it with Kimberly going, you know, maybe they just need somebody to be their friend. Yeah, you're probably right. So they walk over and Jason buys them all soda and they're all buddies again. Are they buddies?
Yeah, like, it's just a one-off episode, though. I mean, yes, Green No More was a two-parter, but I mean, that whole plot line, it's like, do we ever even see them again ever after that?
Oh, so you should, well, then he should go get his money back for that soda. I'll be damned if I'm going to buy somebody soda that just try to kill me and try to push my friends around.
Oh, that's.
I got this one. This one's on me. That's nice of you.
And at some point, I think Squat and Babu just kind of like disappeared. I know when Lord Zedd first arrived, they got trapped in like a little room, but then they, you know, once Rita came back, I know that they were out and about. But, like, after a while, I could be remembering this wrong, but they just kind of, like, disappeared, because then we had the introduction of Rita's brother, Rito Revolto.
Yep. Which was also another awesome character. I really did love him a ton.
Yeah, he was cool, but at this point in the season, when Rito came in, it's like Goldar and Rito are now the Bulk and Skull characters of the villains, rather than Squat and Babu being Bulk and Skull type characters. It's like, really?
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
But no, I did dig Rito. He's very different, and I did dig the voice that Bob Papenbrook had given Rito. Very,
it was extremely goofy. It was like Ninjor almost.
Yeah.
But one of the main reasons I loved Rito was because his action figure, his 5-inch action figure, and it was just, he was always kicking my Rangers' butts. So it's like, I kind of took a liking to him.
Yes, and I think really the only other real villain we have to talk about is Master Vile. I guess we can talk about Hydrahog too, but he premiered later on. But Master Vile is Rita's dad. So yep. This is basically a whole family affair now. Rita's married to Zed, her brother comes in, and now her father comes in.
Yep. To be honest, I didn't watch every episode of season 2 again. I just watched the ones that mattered. But along the way, I was with you. I was just like, oh, I totally remember this. And it all came back to me. And I'm, you know.
Yeah.
It was just, the season 2 is just so freaking amazing. Yeah. I love season 2 so much.
And the Master Vile plot was he's looking for the legendary Zeo Crystal. Because Master Vile kind of, that's the problem with Mighty Morphin Season 2 and Season 3 and Mighty Morphin Alien Rangers. They kind of all blend together. So it's kind of hard to really separate them.
Right. Well, that's, I think I've always been told that that's the reason Sentai never did it. Because Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Season 1, Season 2, and Season 3 is the only people to do that. Because, like, Sentai's been 35 different Rangers every time. They don't ever try to mesh them together because they don't want people getting confused. So exactly what you're saying right now, you don't remember what happened in season 2 or season 3 or season 1 is mm-hmm. why they got away from doing that.
Yeah. Really quick, Master Vile was last seen on the Cimmerian planet attending Dark Spectre's conference. He was most likely purified like his daughter or destroyed by Zordon's wave during the battles that succeeded the conference. In the Power Rangers Operation Overdrive episode, once a ranger is revealed that he has a grandson named Thrax.
We should be seeing him any day now.
Yeah, we'll see him in a few months, actually. I know what I wanted to get into with the villains before we move on to the weapons and the Zords. Yeah.
I seen this coming.
Worst plot point ever. Okay, so in season 1, you have the regular putties. We talked about that last month. We talked about how they were, you know, you just beat on them for 10, 15 minutes, and they just end up disappearing. And then Rita created the Super Putty Patrollers, which are the stronger versions of the regular putties. They were mentioned in Life's a Masquerade and later appeared in Gung Ho. They were made from the super putty that Rita Repulsa and her minions had mined. Now enter Lord Zed. Okay. As much as I love Lord Zed, these have to be the worst Power Rangers, like, army villains ever. The Z putties. They have a huge Z on their chest. It's basically a target. However, my problem with it is, like, I've seen 2 or 3 or 4 different episodes in season 2 where, like, once the Rangers, once Jason and them, like, Zordon tells them you have to hit the Z. Once they figure that out, you know, okay, cool. Well, there's a few shots in a few different episodes where I'll see Kimberly, Billy, whoever, either kick or punch right at the Z. And the damn thing doesn't disappear automatically. It still stays on and fight.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Or if you knew that's what happens, why don't you just run up and just hit it in the chest and get it over with?
I know.
Well, yeah, I understand it's a TV show and that wouldn't be very fun, but
right.
I don't know.
Oh, and the other problem with the Z putties is not only like say Tommy did, I don't know, some flying ninja corkscrew kick or whatever. I don't know. Say he did some super move. And on the way down, he hit one of the Z putties in the Z, but the thing doesn't actually disappear. It starts bouncing around and flops off of stuff after Tommy landed the move. So say it flops onto a trash can and the Z hits the trash can, but it still doesn't disappear. It's like, oh God.
Yeah, they didn't push it hard enough.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the toy. You really had to push that Z for it to pop apart.
Oh man.
All right, moving on to weapons.
Yes, to the weapons. Really, the only weapon here outside of the Zords was the Power Cannon, which is a giant bazooka that fires loadable spheres of energy. It replaces the Power Blaster shortly after Jason, Zach, and Trini's departure from the team.
It's funny because me and my best friend, Jaren, we actually had one of those, but it wasn't a Power Ranger thing. It was like a giant bazooka that shot balls, and we got it at, like, Ventures or something, you know, like Jack's or Hills or one of those toy stores way back in the day, and it used to shoot giant like Nerf balls.
Uh-huh.
So when this gun came out, we were set. We already had the gun. So we were straight Power Rangers for sure then.
Yes. The Zords, you know, I love the storyline of how, like, in the Mutiny when the season first starts, of how they have, you know, they go out, they're trying to fight Lord Zedd, and Paranta's head gets control of the Zords.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zordon goes back and says, oh, we have these brand new Zords that we've created, but we have to get the old Zords under control first.
Yeah. Well, because they have to use pieces from the old Zords to make the new Zords.
Right.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, it made no sense. But that's a nitpicky plot point at this point.
Right.
I loved the Thunder Zords. They were just so amazing.
Yep. They're, again, they're some of my favorite Zords. Of course, I say that every time we talk about any Zords, but
right,
the Thunder
yeah.
Zords are absolutely amazing.
You know, what was so amazing about the Thunder Zords was the, like, after so many episodes of we need Dinozor power now, and it's the same sequence over and over and over again,
mm-hmm.
I realize they have to go by what footage they have. The Thunder Zords, it was something new, it was something different, and in this case, change was needed and was better. And I still liked, because the old Zords helped form the new ones, they still said, like, Mastodon Lion Thunder Zord power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's basically a combination of the other ones. It was just so amazing to see these. And I love the music cue that Ron Wasserman had used, had created.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. And the White Tiger Zord was also amazing, too.
Yes, the White Tiger Zord was super amazing. One of the reasons why I absolutely love the White Tiger Zord specifically is Saba.
Yes. Even though Saba was a jerk at first. What are you doing? He's like, I don't know. Tommy's like, I don't know.
I'm learning I'm new to this stuff.
Yeah, I'm new to this. I'd be mad if the sword started back talking to me. I'm like, look, I'll put you in a closet or something.
I'll put
you in a drawer.
I do have to say that it did take Tommy at least 5 or 10 minutes to get the hang of it. It wasn't like, oh, I have a new Zord. I immediately know what to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, I did like that, because sometimes it does frustrate me when any kind of character, like, you know, a power team or you know, even like the Justice League or Superman or, you know, anytime anybody that is a powerful being and they get a new power, it always bugs me that if they know how to use it immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like, when he was trying to control it, it fell over on its back, and it knocked over that piece of that mountain and all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
And he's like, let's try this again. And then he got it, and he jumped on top of it, and it was wonderful, and they played that song.
Yes.
The White Ranger song, which is absolutely amazing.
Yes, it is, very much so. So just to run down the list here really quick, you have the Red Dragon, Thunderzord, Lion, Unicorn. I almost said Unicron. Holy crap. This is not Transformers. This is Power Rangers. Thank you very much. The Griffin and the Firebird Thunderzord. Oh, hey, that's Trans Am, isn't it? Oh, sorry.
No, it was a Phoenix or Fire or whatever.
Yeah, no, Firebird, Trans Am, it's a car thing. Yeah.
Yep. One of my favorite Zords of all time, single Zords of all time, no doubt about it, is Tor. And this is where they introduced Tor.
Yeah.
The shuttle Zord. When during the power transfer, I believe, when Serpentera was introduced. Actually, no, they already had Tor. They got Tor. When did they get Tor? I can't remember. They got Tor in a different episode. I can't. It escapes my mind.
Oh, no. Zordon presents the Rangers with the turtle-shaped Tor, the shuttle Zord, to help them on their journey to get the Sword of Light.
Yes, the Sword of Light episode.
Yeah, Tor can withstand Big Blast. Even Serpentera can't destroy it with its sheer weight.
It was the four-headed monster.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like four-headed. It was like a head. It was like forehead. And it's like they couldn't beat it with their blaster, and they couldn't beat it with this. And they're like, well, we need to do something else. And then Tor came out, and it was awesome.
Yes, and one of the things I absolutely love about Tor is, like the Dragon Zord and Titanus, Tor is likely still dormant somewhere on Earth in the Power Rangers universe, as its destruction was never shown on screen.
So it can come back.
Yep.
I don't know, I'd poop my pants if the Samurais used Tor. It would be so amazing.
I'm sorry, I don't like foldings. Like, Folding Zord, that's a whole other topic. We'll talk about that later. And the big thing of the super combined mode is the Thunder Ultra Zord. So Tor can combine with the Thunder Zord Assault Team, on top of which is the Red Dragon in Warrior mode, and the Tiger Zord in Tiger mode to form the Thunder Ultra Zord. Instead of firing weapons to finish off monsters, it flies above the monster and literally lands right on top of it, squishing the monster flat. However, in the episode Goldar's Vice Versa, it uses its cannons against Goldar and Scorpina, though this was done by splicing together the stock footage of both Gyuranger and Dieranger. I hope I'm saying Dieranger right.
You are. It's Dieranger.
Okay.
Of course, I thought it was Zyuranger last time. So
yeah. I know. Yeah. That's why we have Spada for the Sentai stuff.
I still need to get a one-on-one with him. I would love to talk to him about some of that stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure we could have him on at some point. We can just have, like, a general Power Rangers discussion as kind of like a bonus episode. That'd be fine.
We need to get that going. Because I could care less about Sentai stuff until, you know, this last year. And then just kind of learning about it. It really is entertaining, and it really is. I'm not going to say it's as good as our Power Rangers, but some of theirs are better than some of our Power Rangers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, nothing's better than Mighty Morphin, but, you know, this new Gokaiger is absolutely amazing. It's way better than Samurai.
Well, that's because Samurai never got a true introduction. So anyway, so Thunder Zords, Ultra Thunder Zord. If I had to pick an overall favorite, just individual Zord from the Thunder Zords, it would probably have to be White Tiger.
Yep. I've seen that coming. I would probably have to pick Tor. Tor was amazing.
So now Spada is going to give us the Dieranger lesson.
Let's hear it, Spada.
Hey, gang. Spada of Bolt Matrix here, and this time we are taking a look at Power Rangers Season 2 here on the Command Center. In Season 2 of MMPR, Saban adapted the Zords and the White Ranger from the 17th Super Sentai series, Gosei Sentai Dieranger. Airing from 1993 to 1994, Dieranger used kung fu and traditional Chinese mythological creatures as its series motif. The story of the Sentai series follows a similar format to the story from Chuuranger. 8,000 years ago, the three tribes of the Dao civilization lived in harmony in southern China. These tribes were called the Dai, the Gorma, and the Shora tribes. At some point, the Gorma tribe, led by the Gorma Triumvirate, desired to take over the Dao Empire, and so a war started between the Gorma and the Dai tribe. Their battles continued for 5,000 years. The mythical Chi beasts emerged to oppose the Gorma tribe, who powers at the time had increased to a stage where they could become fearsome, powerful monsters. To combat the Gorma, 5 Dai warriors increased their chi powers so that they can control the mystical chi beasts. The war finally ended with the mysterious disappearance of the 2 warring tribes, leaving only the Shura tribe. In 1993, the Gorma tribe reemerged and plotted to take over the world, but somebody named Master Kaku assembled a team of 5 youths with high levels of chi to fight the Gorma tribe as the Dai Ranger. Now, just a thing of note, the Shura tribe mentioned earlier is actually the precursor to human civilization. Sadly, Saban decided not to use the 5 costume of the Dai Rangers, and that's a real shame since they are awesome. The only color change in the 5 core members would have been dropping black and replacing it with a green ranger. These warriors come with some nifty weapons. Each ranger has a star sword, a long sword, and a star cutter, a dagger. And these 2 weapons can be merged together to form a gun called the Dai Buster. Each ranger also had a Dai Rod, a staff weapon where each Dai Ranger possesses an individual blade. Along with these weapons, each ranger had individual weapons. Red had a double dragon swords. Green has a lion staff, blue has Pegasus Nunchaku, pink has the Phoenix Spear, and yellow has the Keelin 9 Section Staff. While all these weapons are awesome, some of their gear does kinda suck. The Morpher, called the Aurora Changer, is almost the exact same thing as the Turbo Morphers from Power Rangers Turbo. Ugh. Also, they have really stupid motorcycles. Really stupid. And finally, the Super Chi Power Bazooka is the series' telltale team attack. It's a golden dragon cannon that barfs energy balls. It's really not as cool as it sounds. Aside from the personal weapons, the Dai Ranger can also summon mythical Chi Beasts. These beasts are the Zords of the series. The Chi Beasts are the red dragon Ryuseho, which can turn into a warrior mode, the blue Tenma, the yellow Keelin, the green Shishi, and the pink Hole. Later, White Wan Tiger and the Super Chi Beast Demujin join the team. In Power Rangers, all of these were renamed to the Dragon, Unicorn, Griffin, Lion, and Phoenix Thunder Zords, and then the White Tiger Zord and Tor the Shuttle Zord, respectively. The Ultra Zord combination was called Judo Kaiden, which translates to Heavy Armor Chi Palace. That kind of describes the attack, where they fly up into the air and then squish the monster, I should say. Another huge difference with Dai Ranger versus Power Rangers Season 2 is that the White Ranger, called the Kiba Ranger, was actually a 9-year-old boy. The fact that the Kiba Ranger is really a very annoying child is a major plot point throughout the rest of the series. At first, he's really weak and not at all used to fighting, but as the series progresses, he becomes a much better fighter. It has also been theorized that this was where the idea for the Justin, the Blue Turbo Ranger, came from. I really don't like this turn of events, but it's very normal to see kids interacting with the rest of the Rangers, because, you know, this is a kids' show. The last item of the show that needs to be talked about is Dai Jinryu. Power Rangers fans know this better as Serpentera, but don't think for a moment that this is a giant dragon that needs to have his fuel changed more than a current-day SUV. No, Dai Jinryu is a sentient being that was created by the universe itself in order to maintain balance across the stars. It has no ill will towards any being, but it has no tolerance for disturbing the natural order of things. It has 2 modes. Dragon God mode, for traveling, and a bipedal Emperor Dragon mode. The first time it appears, it told the Dai Rangers and the Gorma to stop fighting, and then proceeded to destroy over half of Tokyo with a single plasma blast from its mouth. It showed up 2 more times in the series, and each time wreaked complete and total havoc. It was also responsible for bringing the series to its conclusion. Overall, Dai Ranger is exactly what a Sentai series should be. It's got great action, multiple fighting styles, crazy monsters, interesting villains and heroes, and a plot that has more twists and turns than the Top Gear test track, and it really keeps the viewer guessing and engaged. It is one of my all-time favorite Sentai series. So, this has been Spade of the Bolt Matrix for the Command Center. Now back to the show.
Thank you for that history lesson, Spada. That was very, very interesting. Yeah, I don't think I would want to go up against the Sentai version of Serpentera.
Yeah, no. Yeah, definitely not. our Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Serpentera was found on the moon, I believe, and their Serpentera I can't remember what the Serpentera's name was. It's a god. It's the god of peace, and it gets mad because people are fighting. So it's like, look, if you guys don't stop fighting, I'm going to destroy everything, which makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
So be it.
So far, every time that Spada has, well, he's only done it twice so far, but so far, like when Spada sends me that those clips for the Sentai coverage, it just amazes me how different it was for the Sentai version compared to what we got.
Yes, especially like the Green Ranger,
yeah,
Dragon Caesar or whatever his name was that died because the candle ran out. It's like,
yeah,
little much, guys. But if you if you go back and you watch Sentai, that's what I would love to know is, I don't think Sentai over there is a kid's show. I think it's like a full out, like, soap opera, Friday night, 7 o'clock for Japan, because it's so intense. The music is so, like, the acting is just like real serious, you know. It's just, I don't know, it's just on a whole another level. And Saban makes 30-minute commercials when they're trying to make small movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you again, Spada, for that history lesson on Sentai. Spada's got next month off, considering that Mighty Morphin Power Rangers the movie was pretty much an all-American type production. There really was no Sentai stuff, as far as I know, for that.
You are correct. It's all footage that we shot.
Yep. So Spada will be back when we cover season 3 in 2 months, actually. So getting into the favorite episodes, the plot line of season 2, basically, we kind of already covered it. Basically, it's the story of Rita and her wicked scheme. She comes back and all that. Lord Zedd is introduced. Tommy loses his powers. Tommy then becomes the White Ranger. Jason, Zack, and Trini leave, and Rocky, Aisha, and Adam join up. and season 2 is where Bulk and Skull begin their endless hunt to find the secret identities of the Power Rangers.
Yeah, right. I'm pretty sure one time they found out who they were, right? But somebody did.
I don't remember. I'm gonna have to go back and look.
Yeah, it might have. Might also be season 3 as well. That I know for sure they end up finding out who they are, and they make them forget somehow or something. I can't. I'm pretty sure that's almost. That's
accurate. Yeah. So what are some of your favorite episodes from season 2, sir?
The Wannabe Ranger, again, because of the Primator. I just absolutely loved the Wannabe Ranger. White Light, obviously, 1 and 2. The Wild West Rangers, that little miniseries was pretty good. But besides that, they're all about the same. There probably isn't one episode where I would fast forward through if I had the season right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things for me where I love the Mutiny 3-parter.
Yep.
You know, just that whole story of bringing Zedd in, the whole story of creating the Zords and having that done. The stuff leading up to White Light, like Green Dream, where Tommy is troubled by a recurring dream about losing his powers.
And then he's visited by him in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that's Green No More Part 1, where he sees himself from the future.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just, I mean, White Light was so amazing because of the simple fact that you've got the team. They're doing their thing. You know, Kimberly gets this letter from Tommy saying he's coming home at the end of the week, and you just assume that, you know, he's just going to be coming home. Because at this point, I think he lost his powers.
Yeah, he was completely done.
Yeah, he was completely done as the Green Ranger. And, you know, you just assumed, oh, well, he's just going to, like, do a guest spot or whatever else. And then all of a sudden, just because Zedd isn't doing anything, Alpha and Zordon decide to sneak away to a hidden chamber. You know,
right.
And they felt that something was needed to do, you know, to change the team up a little bit. And I gotta say, throughout the whole first part of White Light, I didn't know whether it was Zedd that was gonna get his hands on Tommy or whether it was Zordon and Alpha that were going to choose him to become the White Ranger, because really, when you look at Tommy coming out of the water and being on the beach wherever he's supposed to be, I don't know in fictional Power Ranger universe where he was supposed to be, but he like just starts like doesn't really scream, but he's like and he like fades away in green smoke.
Yeah, he's at Angel Grove at that point.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, because it's good to be home or whatever, and then they zap him away and take him.
Oh, okay. So maybe that was the beach in Angel Grove. Okay. Yep. I don't know. Okay, that works. Yeah, and then they zap him away, and you're like, wait, what?
Right.
Where'd he go? And then, of course, you know, the whole big... What I absolutely loved was the fact that Billy had to go back and search, and just him going into the white, the door light and seeing the chamber and seeing this is one of the best cliffhangers.
Yeah, it didn't when you walked into the room, though, like it was like a time tunnel or something, because he was like, he was falling.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a time tunnel.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I think it was something like you know how like you'll see in a movie where someone goes into a ventilation system, and then all of us like the vent only goes so far, and then all of a sudden it'll drop down, mm-hmm. like to another level. I think it was like that type of thing. I don't know. I'm not sure. It was a weird angle that they had him positioned at in that scene, but. Yeah, one of the best cliffhangers, and then they paid it off in spades in part two.
Yes, sir, that is correct.
It's just so awesome.
Yeah, to be honest, I wasn't sure that it was going to be Tommy. Like, I thought they brought Tommy back to kind of throw us a curveball, and then it's going to be somebody else, and then maybe Tommy's going to come back as a Green Ranger or something. But then it was like, oh, Tommy's a White Ranger, and I'm like, oh, greatest day ever.
Exactly.
Pretty amazing.
This is probably the only like holiday themed episode I really remember with Zed's Monster Mash, because I think they sampled the song Monster Mash in the episode, because it was some sort of like monster party. I don't know. I could be confusing it with a wedding. I could have sworn that.
No, that definitely happened. But yeah, I don't remember where it was.
Yeah. And then, you know, we've got the ninja encounter where we meet Rocky, Aisha, and Adam,
mm-hmm.
which is very, very cool. And what I liked about the ninja encounter is that, you know, they're like, oh, the next town over, Stone Canyon.
Yeah, Stone.
So Angel Grove just doesn't exist in its own, like it's not like a floating island or anything like that. It is an actual place with cities around it.
Right.
Let's see what else here. And of course, the power transfer. First of all, it's sad and exciting. But second of all, it was done so well.
Yep. And Serpentera was shown off for the first time.
Yep, that was very awesome.
I kind of dig Serpentera, even though it's a bad guy or whatever. You know, I just really dig it.
Yeah, I thought Serpentera was really, really cool. And then, you know, you got the time-traveling episode with Rangers Back in Time, where you see a young Bulk and Skull and young Rangers and all that stuff. That one was okay. I absolutely love the wedding three-parter.
Yes.
Because this, again, is where they're bringing in the comedy. You know, for the beginning of the season, Zed got rid of Rita. Rita comes back, and she's got this whole plot to take over the world, and she's going to do it by marrying Zed. And just when he wakes up and he sees her, and it's like zoink, because she gave him that potion, it's like, oh my god, just the change in Zed's character from being all super evil to being all super evil gushy type. I was like, oh my god, this is so hilarious.
Yep.
And I love her reaction, because he's like, will you marry me? And she kind of like hesitates for this. She's like, okay.
Yeah. That's how I did my wife.
Will you marry me?
That's, yeah, all right.
That's funny. And then we've got the Return of the Green Ranger parts 1, 2, and 3, where, let's see, what Kids Ponder History Assignment, Wizards. Again, another time travel episode.
But this time the Dragon Lord's in it.
Yeah, well, yeah, but Dragon Zord's evil again. That's not good.
Right. Well, you wanted Green Ranger versus White Ranger.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, this just gives you a chance to see that.
That's very true. One that I probably won't ever watch ever again is the Storybook Ranger two-parter. I hated that episode.
Which one was that? What happens in that?
Storybook Rangers was the one where there's a book fair at Angel Grove High. Much to the delight of the Rangers, Tommy buys a book for Kimberly that she has loved since childhood, which inspires her to trap the Rangers inside. Really?
I hate getting trapped in books.
And then you want to talk about Wild Wild West Rangers?
Not necessarily.
I thought you liked that
No,
one.
I did like it. It doesn't mean, I mean, just anytime they do, I just like it when they do different stuff. I know you didn't like it when they do the time travel, because it's just an easy way out of, it's like, you know, they just get lazy if they don't have to write anything, so they just make up this completely ridiculous story. But I always like those silly, you know, those silly stories.
Instead of them teleporting back in time, they should have had a DeLorean and jumped in that.
Oh, that would have been
10 times better.
What's this car here? Let's get in.
I mean, I don't mind what I don't like about time travel episodes is if, like, they did Rangers Back in Time, and then they did, like the Return of the Green Ranger. It was like there was only, like, one or two episodes in between those two multi-part episodes. That's what I don't like about it, is that they give us one for 2 or 3 days, and then they'll do like 2 or 3 individual, you know, one-offs, and then they'll do another one with the exact same plot of going back in time. Granted, it's different circumstances in the two episodes, but it's still the same plot device. That's what I don't like. It's not necessarily I didn't care for the episodes. I don't like when they use that back to back to back.
Yeah. I guess I could agree with that.
And then to close out this season, we have Blue Ranger Gone Bad, which they recently reused in Samurai.
Yes, they did. And actually, on a very quick side note, Samurai's actually starting to get better. So hang in there, people.
Well, there was no episode this past weekend because stupid Kid Choice Awards.
Right, but this week they're starting. The Red Ranger is going to fight that guy. I think it's a 2 or 3
parter. Oh, yeah.
It's a 2 or 3 parter, and those always make for good stories, so hopefully they don't mess it up.
Yeah. So I'm assuming we're in agreement as far as, like, favorite overall episode of season 2 is White Light, 2 parter.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Yeah. That was just an amazing, amazing story. Very, very, very cool. Let's move on. Actually, we're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear a music piece, and we'll come back with the music segment.
Wait, wait, wait! Ay, 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 ay! Zordon, what's that in the viewing globe?
That is the future you are seeing, Alpha. That is the White Ranger.
Ranger Tiger Power, White Ranger Tiger Power, White Ranger Tiger Power, White Ranger Tiger Power.
Go White Ranger, go White Ranger, go White Ranger, go White Ranger
right now.
What an absolutely wonderful song. I do love the White Ranger song. I love the Green Ranger song. The guy that did the music just absolutely did a wonderful job.
Yeah, Ron Wasserman, he did an amazing job with this stuff that he's done in Power Rangers. It's such...
Does he do Sentai too?
I'm not sure.
I would almost bet anything he doesn't.
Probably not.
I don't remember hearing any of the same kind of music. He might have got some pointers, or no. He might have used some Sentai stuff and then made it his own and added some stuff and kind of flipped it around a little bit. But I don't know if that's a fact or not. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Try to keep it kind of close.
Yeah.
But that White Ranger song is absolutely amazing.
Yeah. I mean, the White Ranger song is absolutely amazing. The soundtrack, even though you're probably not going to be able to find it, to be able to buy it anywhere online or anything like that, but the Power Rangers, A Rock Adventure, that soundtrack, I love that soundtrack, because what I love about that best is it tells a story of the whatever episode the song premiered in, so it has audio, like, you know, at the end of the White Ranger song, it has, you know, Zordon saying, "May the power protect you," which is how I always end each of the FTCC podcast episodes. That song is so awesome. But in general, the music for this season as well, it fit with the fights. It fit with, you know, the slow moments of episodes, and it was just really, really great.
Yep. Yeah, when he starts summoning the Tiger Zord and that music hits with that guy.
Yep.
Doing that humming or that, oh,
yep.
Awesome.
For a second there, I thought you were going to say, oh, yo.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not in the Land of Oz. Do you want to talk about, I mean, I know that you do your Power Rangers toy stuff over on the video version of FTCC, but do you want to talk about some of the toys really quick, just generally, specifically like the Season 2 toys? Was there any difference between the actual Red, Yellow, and Black Ranger toys between Rocky, Adam, and Aisha, and Jason, nope. Zach, and Trini?
Nope, they took over their Zords, because Trini and Zach and Jason actually started with the three Zords, and then when Rocky and Adam Aisha took over, they just took over the Unicorn and the Griffin and the
right. And but there was never like I remember having a flip action Billy,
right.
Where it had a switch in the back of the figure where you could flip up the helmet head, or you could flip up the actual character.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, they have automorphers,
and right.
They actually made a White Ranger of Tommy, and they made Yellow Aisha, and they made all those flip heads, and I had them, and they were extremely rare. And a few years back, when I was like, I need to start selling some of this stuff, I don't want this stuff anymore, I sold them. And
shame on you.
Yeah, well, I got a ton of money for them, so I can't really complain. Because they really are rare. If you find one of those on eBay, they go by themselves for probably around $100.
Wow.
Yep, so that's $400. Wow. And I also had the Alien Rangers that we will talk about in Season 3, and they are also extremely, extremely rare. So
yeah,
that was another thing I wish I didn't sell, but I did. And it wasn't even like I needed the money. It was just like, I got to start making room. I'm selling this stuff.
Yeah, it's one of those things, yeah. Yeah, I do remember having the flip action, a couple of the flip action ones. I don't think I ever had a Tommy figure, like a White Ranger Tommy figure. I know I had Green Ranger Tommy a few times as a kid. But again, with Green Ranger Tommy figure, if it didn't have the gold shield, it's just like, oh, just doesn't. But White Ranger Tommy, I always wanted one of those. As a kid, I always wanted one of those because it was so, so cool.
Yep.
Just very, very, very cool. And as we said in episode one, there have been several different DVD releases. I will refer everybody back to episode one to check that out as far as, because really there aren't, I'm hoping against hope that now that Saban has the rights back, that they'll start releasing like DVD seasons of Power Rangers stuff, because it'd be nice to actually have a whole season of a certain, you know, era, whether it be MMPR, whether it be in space or whatever, instead of all the volume things.
Yeah, this is kind of something that really just baffles the crap out of me, how Saban will make every single toy that you see on the show into, you know, anything you see on the show, he's going to make that into a toy, so you buy it. You know, Saban is, and he's not shy about it, he's about the money. He wants to make money. And I cannot believe he doesn't sell these as DVDs.
It could rights issue, but I could have sworn since he took, and I could be wrong on this. If anybody wants to email Scotty or email me, ScottyCash at popculturenetwork.com or tfgomike@gmail.com and let us know. I could have sworn when Saban bought the rights back from Disney that they bought the rights to the entire franchise, which includes the DVD rights.
Right, but why didn't they release the seasons before Disney bought it, you know, from them?
Yeah, that's true.
Because they have 11 seasons.
Yeah,
10
that's
seasons,
true.
So they could have sold those.
Maybe we'll see them one day, hopefully.
Yeah, that is. Once that happens, I'll just be able to die a happy man. I'll put it right next to my He-Man collection. And I'll be, you know, perfectly fine.
Go Team Randor.
Yep, that's my squad. I get so many people wanting to know what that is because I had that shirt made. They're like, "Who's Randor?"
Oh god, yeah, that's a whole other discussion that we don't need to have. So yeah. Up next, you're going to hear some ads, both from Pop Culture Network and Geekcast Radio Network. And we'll come back with final thoughts and the outro.
Awesome.
And now, here are your ads from the Geekcast Radio Network.
Emerging from the dark humor that was the Beast Unleashed podcast, Steve Megatron, TFGO and Mike, and Pecan Court Michael move on to Transformers Animated, coming June 26, 2011, Transformation Animation Podcast. 15 podcast episodes covering all three seasons of Transformers Animated and the awesome toy line as well. We will also have cast and crew interviews, so get tapped this summer with the Geekcast Radio Network's next Transformers franchise podcast, Transformation Animation Podcast.
Decepticons, transform and rise up!
Coming Halloween 2011 is Legends of the Dark Knight, Geekcast Radio Network's next DCAU podcast. Join Steve Megatron and TFG1 Mike as they cover every Batman episode from the DC Animated Universe. From Batman the Animated Series to the films and Batman Beyond. So join us October 31st, 2011. For Legends of the Dark Knight, which you can find on iTunes and the web at geekcastradio.com.
Tooncast is dedicated to the cartoons we grew up with. 100 episodes and more make up one of the GCRN's most popular podcasts. Join hosts TFG and Mike, Optimus Solo, Terror the Rising Star, and tons of guest hosts. We also have voice actor and writer interviews. Tune in to Tooncast as we look back on the cartoons that defined us as geeks. You can find Tooncast on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Tune in.
And here are some ads from our collaborators, the Pop Culture Network.
You're listening to a podcast on PopCultureNetwork.com. Be sure to head on over to the site at www.PopCultureNetwork.com to check out more podcasts and videos featuring toys, comic books, video games, and all the things you love. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you purchase helps to keep us producing. Just head over to PopCultureNetwork.com and click on Store.
What it is, friends. Sween Hollick here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, Vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk at www.radicalretro.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bates, and if you love toys, come check out my show, Not Mitten Box, every Tuesday on the Pop Culture Network.
So, final thoughts on Mighty Morphin Season 2, sir?
I don't know if you've got it up to this point, but I kind of like this season. I might have said it once or twice, but it is an absolutely great season.
Yeah, this was a season that was very even on episodes, and what I mean by that is, you had those overarching stories that I like.
Yep.
where you had those individual one-off episodes that maybe somebody else likes. And it was a good, even match of the two. There wasn't too many one-offs. There wasn't too many multi-parters. It was just right for what this season was.
Bunch of series. And the series is what makes us happy.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. Any other thoughts?
Not necessarily. I mean, I can't wait for our next episode. Because it's probably going to be my favorite episode.
Thank you for joining us here from the Command Center. There are some ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the network websites, geekcastradio.com and popculturenetwork.com. Join the forums over at Pop Culture Network and Geekcast Radio Network. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. As I said before at the beginning of the show, we are now in iTunes. So if you're liking what we're doing, and yes, we only release the main episodes, the episodes that we're covering the actual series, we release them monthly, but we will do like bonus episodes here and there. If you're liking us, if you have thoughts, if you have feedback, please leave us iTunes reviews and ratings.
Yeah, the more feedback we get, the more episodes we're going to do. If we don't get any feedback, we're just thinking we're talking to ourselves, so why would we go out of our way to do another bonus episode?
Well, you know, this is something that you and I can talk about off-air, but I did, I've been meaning to talk to you about it. I think from the Command Center, the podcast will, like, once we get down to episode 20, which is the Samurai episode, which will be sometime next year, I think, once we get to that, if there isn't a new series currently going on, we'll wait a few months or a few years, like, episode two, like, this show won't have a definite end. It'll, as long as they keep making Power Rangers series, we'll keep doing episodes, but episode 20, where we're going to cover Power Rangers Samurai, that'll kind of be the ending point for now. It's kind of like, James Bond will return in, you know, it's one of those types of things.
Tune in next time. Yeah. Power Ranger time, same Power Ranger channel.
Yep. So leave us feedback in iTunes. You can also comment on the geekcastradio.com posts. I'm not sure if you guys are at Pop Culture Network. I'm not sure if you guys do posts that allow people to comment on them, but I do post each episode in the From the Command Center thread over there as well. You can follow us on Twitter, which Scotty does not use. Mine is TFG and Mike. You can become a fan on Facebook. Search Geekcast Radio Network and Pop Culture Network. You can check out the award-winning video series of From the Command Center on PCN's YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/user/Mandalorian30. You can call the voicemail lines. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. For GCRN, call 502-526-5821. If you guys want From the Command Center voicemails to be played specifically in FTCC, call the GCRN line first, because I do most of the edit. I actually do all the editing for FTCC podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
Not trying to throw Scotty under the bus, but what I'm trying to say here is this will be the easiest way for me to access it is if you call our voicemail line. And for PCN, you can call 217-953-4025. We hope you enjoyed this episode of From the Command Center and wish you'll join us next time when we will be continuing Mighty Morphin Power Rangers talk with Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie.
I can't wait.
For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Scotty Cash.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Hey, Skull, what's that sound?
I think it's those gray guys behind you.
What gray guys? Hey, Skull.
Yeah, Bulgy.
They're coming toward us. We need the Power Rangers.
Let the power protect you.